Our worship team has carried the load this morning, haven't they? They've done such a good job. Thank you, guys. Readers, yeah. Our readers have done an awesome job, too. Thank you all so much for participating this morning. John 1:14 says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus' beloved disciple, John, opens his gospel with this incredible statement about the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. This isn't just any baby. Mary's son, who could not yet say a word, is the eternal Son, the Word made flesh, the one who spoke the world into existence. We call this miracle the miracle of the incarnation. The incarnation, meaning Jesus did not come into existence at his miraculous conception. Rather, he is the eternal, pre-existent Son of God, who left heaven, came into the world, took on real human flesh, and became one of us without becoming less of himself. The baby in the manger is both fully God and fully man. The question this morning, the most important question this morning that we could answer is why? Why would God the Son leave his place in heaven with the Father, take on flesh, and become one of us? Well, the answer is simple. Michael read it just a few moments ago when he read 1 Timothy 1:15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And friends, that's you and me. See, John 1:14 says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. And the truth is, as Romans 3:23 says it, that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners separated from God because we've not lived up to God's perfect standards. Not one of us has kept all of His commands at all times. Not one of us has been perfectly obedient to everything that He tells us in His Word. Not all of us has loved the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not all of us have loved our neighbors as ourselves. Not perfectly, not all the time, not without fail. And the truth is that we deserve condemnation, judgment, the wrath of God for our own personal rebellion against Him. That is the truth. And yet Jesus is full of grace. He came into the world to save sinners, to rescue sinners. He tells Nicodemus in John 3:16 that He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. Why? Because the world was already condemned. Instead, He came to save it, to rescue sinners, to put the glory of His love on display to the unlovable. That's why the incarnation was necessary. You see, God's grace and His love for us does not mean that He relaxes His standards of holiness, or that He overlooks our sin, or that He just sweeps our sin under the rug. Instead, God sends His Son Jesus to live among us as a man, not just to show us how to live, but to actually live for us, to live the perfect life of obedience to God that we could not live. And then, having done so, having lived a perfect life, He took on the punishment for our sin that was ours by dying on the cross in our place. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Romans 5:6 tells us, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." And again, church, that's you and me. You and I are the ungodly. Christ died for you and for me. He came into the world to save sinners. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, the Son became the sin so that the sinners could become sons. If you don't recognize that this morning, if you don't recognize that you are a sinner and that you need Christ's righteousness counted to you, then you reject the very purpose for which Christ came in the first place. And Christmas means nothing to you when it should mean everything. You see, the glory of the Christmas manger isn't really the angels. It isn't really the shepherds. It isn't really the wise men. The glory of the Christmas manger is the Easter cross. Hannah illustrated this beautifully in our sermon series graphic that we've been looking at over the last 3 weeks or so, 4 weeks now. If you haven't seen it, I'll point it out to you. You can see that the legs of the manger are the cross, and you can see that the manger itself is three nails, and that the crown of glory that represents Christ is actually a crown of thorns. We celebrate Christmas, church, because we believe that Christ the Son was born to die. And more than that, to be raised, having overcome sin and death, so that we too may have the hope of forgiveness and eternal life with Him. Now, if all this is true, if the whole purpose of Christmas, of Christ coming to earth, was to save sinners through His perfect life, His death on the cross, and His resurrection from the grave, if that's true, and it's also true that we're all sinners, well, what's the connection between His saving work and my need to be saved? How do I get saved? How do I get that work applied to me? And the simple answer is faith. Pure, simple faith. But what is saving faith? Well, Jesus tells us in His very first words in the book of Mark what saving faith looks like. In Mark 1:15, Jesus says this. He says, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repent and believe in the gospel. To repent means to agree with God and His word about the sinfulness of your sin. To agree with God that you have indeed broken His commands, lived life your own way, failed to love Him and others like you ought to, and that if you were to die today apart from Christ, you would spend eternity in hell, and you would deserve it. I know that's a hard thing to say, and it's a hard thing to hear, but church, I need you to hear it and believe it this morning, that if you died today apart from Christ, you would spend eternity in hell, and you would deserve it. And that goes for me too. Repentance, then, is confessing your sin to God by name, if you can. Now listen, you don't have to confess every single sin you've ever committed in order to be saved and to confess well. And you certainly don't have to confess it to me. King David in Psalm 51 gives us a beautiful prayer of repentance. I want to read some of it to you. Psalm 51 verses 3 and 4, David writes this. He says, "For I know my transgressions." It's where he's broken God's law. "I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, God, and you only have I sinned." Now, David here knows that he's sinned against Uriah, and he's sinned against Bathsheba, and he's sinned against others. But what David is confessing here is that ultimately his sin is against God. And that's true for us too. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. You hear this from David to God. I've done what's evil in your sight, God. So that you may be justified, you may be right in your words and blameless in your judgment. You hear what David's saying here? This is confession and repentance, church. David is saying, I am a sinner. God, I've sinned against you. And if you send me to hell today, I'll have earned it. You are right to condemn me. And so repentance is confession. It's an agreement with God about your sin. The fact that you have sinned and it does separate you from God and you do earn and deserve judgment for it. But repentance also involves a turning away from those sinful ways of thinking and feeling and acting and pleading with God's Holy Spirit to help you to think and live and act and believe good, right thoughts and beliefs and actions. David writes later in Psalm 51, verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and restore a right spirit within me. That's repentance. It's confessing sin and turning to Christ. And that leads us right into believing the gospel. Jesus says, repent and believe in the gospel. And that word gospel just simply means good news. The gospel is the good news that we've been talking about today, that even though you are a sinner, Christ is an even greater Savior. Believing in the gospel then is more than agreeing with the facts about your sin. It's more than agreeing with the facts about Christ's saving works. The brother of Jesus, James, tells us that even the demons believe that stuff. The difference between believing the facts and saving faith is a deep down belief and trust that what Christ did, he did for you. The Apostle Paul writes this in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now let me just stop right there and say this. Because it's easy for us to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Paul is writing to people, if they said Jesus is Lord, they are saying, and Caesar is not, which could get their head cut off. So you don't say it lightly. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, made right with God, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Notice, it's not just saying the words, it's believing in your heart that what you're saying is true for you. And here's the thing. Repentance and belief are inseparable from one another. And you know, we hear this stuff, and you may be thinking, man, I believe all these things. Do I believe them like the demons believe them? Do I believe them? Do I believe them, but do I really believe them? Am I saved? Do I have saving faith? It's easy to ask those questions when we hear these kinds of messages. And my question to you in response would be this. Has your belief led to repentance? Have you had a moment where you confess to Jesus that you are indeed a sinner and that you need his grace? If you have, and now you hate your sin and you love your Savior, then you've got saving faith. But if you've heard these things and you say you believe them, but you don't really hate your sin and you don't really love your Savior, then my friend, you don't have saving faith. And you've got some praying to do, some pleading with the Holy Spirit to help it to be true for you. In a moment, we're going to sing Joy to the World. If you have repented of your sin and turned to Christ in faith, Church, I want you to sing your heart out on this one. And listen, you've been singing, and it's fun to hear you sing, but I want you to sing on this one. Why? Because of the joy of being forgiven of your sin and reconciled to the Father. Sing like you've been saved. If you haven't repented of your sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your slave, as your Savior, listen, I love you. You're not a Christian. You're not a Christian this morning. And so instead of singing this song with us, I want you to spend that time in prayer asking the Lord to help you to see your sin and to see your need for Christ and to open your heart to believe in Him and trust Him as your Savior and Lord. He is full of grace and truth. Church, you've heard the truth. Now receive His grace. And maybe you want to know more about what that means. You're like, oh, I don't know, just one song. I don't know, I got a lot of questions. Listen, my family's not going to get here till about 4 o'clock this afternoon, which means I've got about 4 hours. And listen, you couldn't give me a better Christmas gift than to help explain the gospel and to see you come to faith in Christ this afternoon. All right? I love you. Let's talk after the service. All right, let me pray for us.